Hey, Reach Paramount, welcome to our podcast. We really hope this message encourages and challenges you as you walk with the Lord every day. Enjoy this message.
Before you sit down, why don't you turn to your neighbor and say you're in the right place at the right time right now. You can be seated. We're glad you're here. We're going to have a wonderful time this morning. Had a great time at our 9 o'clock service, and we're looking forward to being with all of you today at our 11 o'clock. You guys are more awake at 11 o'clock. Come on, you got a lot of sleep, and you got to sleep in a little bit and rest, and you get to make it here at 11 o'clock. I tell people, if you can't make it to church by 11, there's something wrong with you. I don't know what to even say. You know, when people say, I couldn't make it to church on Sunday, it was too early. Are you kidding me? 11 o'clock. And so 11 o'clock is a good hour. Come, you're awake. That means most of you probably had your breakfast, your coffee, whatever you eat in the morning. Some of you huevos rancheros already, you had all of that. But we welcome all of you online and everyone that's here. We are continuing the series that we started at the beginning of April here. It's called I Will, and we're talking about the I wills of Jesus and the I wills of God, really, of He promises us. He makes promises to all of us throughout the Bible. And so we went through the Word of God and tried to give you some of the most crucial promises, although there are thousands, literally thousands of scriptures in the Bible about the promises of God. And when Jesus makes a promise, how many know He keeps the promise? And so He made a few direct promises in the Bible. In John chapter 14, verse 1, He says, I will come back and take you to be with me, that where I am, you're going to be there also. So Jesus is saying, I'm coming back and you're going to go with me. Also, another scripture in John 16, He says, when I leave, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. So how many know the Holy Spirit is here? And another scripture a lot of us can really relate to, I will give you rest. How many need a little bit of rest sometime? I'll give you rest in your spirit. So Jesus promises, makes those promises, but we're going to focus on a different promise today that I believe will help you, maybe bring some insight to you as we deal with it. But we're going to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to be here and minister to our lives, and let us just be open to everything that God has to say. So let's pray for a moment. So Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for the promises of heaven. Your promises are yes and amen. And we know, God, that you do keep promises. So I pray today that you would open our hearts, you'd open our minds to receive the word, remove every distraction, because there's so many things that weigh on us, the responsibilities of life, but help us to put that aside and to hear the word of God clearly and let it minister to our lives. I pray for the anointing of your spirit. Let the people hear the voice behind the voice. And the people of God said, amen. In Jesus' name. All right. So there is several scholars did a review of the promises of God, and no matter how many translations there is, there's about 8,000 different promises in the Bible. And God tells us that, or the Word of God tells us that God is a promise-making God. Not only does He make promises, but He's a promise-keeping God. How many thank God for that? Because we know a lot of people that make promises, but don't keep promises. You know, that ex-boyfriend, right? That ex-girlfriend. They made a promise and they're skedaddle. They win. What happened to that guy? But can I tell you, God doesn't leave you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. God makes a promise, keeps His promise. So you can bank your life on that promise today. And so promises are like what we call a divine insurance. If you have insurance, maybe on your car, hopefully you didn't drive here without insurance. You have car insurance. You have medical insurance. You have different types of insurance. It gives you peace of mind if you did get in a car accident or something happened, that you have insurance, some type of insurance to give you coverage. It gives you the security and the ability to relax. Well, can I tell you today, we can relax because God has His promise over us. Don't spend your life worrying. And there's a lot of people that just worry. So One of the first things I want to just say to you is that we need to build our life on the promises of God. Don't build your life on lies, on what people have told you, on what an uncle told you or an aunt told you. Build your promises on the 8,000 promises of God in Scripture. The second thing I'm going to say to you is God makes two types of promises in the Word of God. There's a conditional promise and the unconditional promise. In other words, an unconditional promise is I'm making you a promise and you don't have to do anything. I've already did it all. And that unconditional promise is God is love, so God loves you. There's nothing you can do to earn it. There's nothing you need to do. Really, just kind of receive it, actually. But God loves you no matter what you do, whether you're good or bad. And I'm not encouraging you to do bad, but I'm just saying, good or bad, God still loves you. Most of us, when we love people, it's based upon their behavior, right? The worse you get, the less I love you. But God loves you no matter what. So that's an unconditional promise. Also, he promises to come back. Jesus says, I'm coming back for you. I believe he is coming back. You better be ready when he comes back. So he is coming back. That's an unconditional promise. It's not based upon what you do or what you don't do. But then there are the conditional promise. In other words, God says, you do this and I'll do this. If you're obedient to my word, then I'll do this for you. And so there are conditional promises that God has. And we're going to focus on one of those conditional promises because many of us today, you know, we like the unconditional, we don't have to do anything. But today I'm going to talk about the conditional promises. If you really want the promises of God in your life, there are some things that are based upon your obedience. In other words, it doesn't automatically happen. It's really based upon what you're willing to do. And here's what I'll say about the promises of God. One of the things about the promises of God is going to teach you to trust him in difficult times. I love that about the promises of God, because when I'm going through a difficulty in my life, when I'm going through a problematic moment or season, I can turn to God. In fact, Psalm 119 verse 50 says, when I'm hurting, how many have ever been hurting in your life? I find comfort in your promises that what lead to life. Not lead to depression, not lead to death, not lead to hopelessness, but lead to life. And then when I'm going through bad circumstances in my life, again, Psalm 119 verse 114 says, you, God, you are my refuge and my shield. Your promises are my only source of hope. So when life looks hopeless, you can turn to God. He's a God that keeps his promises. And this is why promises are part of the word of God. When you're going through tough times, when you're going through difficult times, when you're hurting, you can turn to God. The other reason why I believe promises are really critical for us to understand is the more you believe and the more you lean on the promises of God, it makes you more like him. How many of you want to be more like the Lord today? More like Jesus. We actually, when we base our life on the promises of God, it makes you more like the Lord. In fact, it says this in 2 Peter 1:4, if you're taking notes, God had made great and marvelous promises so that his nature would become part of us. In other words, if we basically base our lives on the promises of God, his nature becomes part of us. In other words, we begin to take on the character and nature of God. And I'll be real frank today. You can't become like Jesus without trusting in the promises of God. You have to begin to live your life according to the promises of God. So can you guess? I'm going to take a little survey. Can you guess what subject in the Bible makes more promises than anything else, about anything than let me say it again. What subject in the Bible does God make more promises about than anything in the Bible? And a lot of us will say, well, faith, maybe prayer, maybe love, maybe patience. Some of you need a little bit of patience. may surprise you that God makes more promises in the Bible about generosity or giving than anything else. It outnumbers prayer. It outnumbers love. It outnumbers all these other subject matters, faith. In other words, there are more promises linked to generosity and giving than anything else. So I'm going to talk about the promises of generosity. Now, a lot of you say, well, Pastor, talk about money. I'm talking about a spirit of generosity. Are you someone that gives? Are you someone that returns? Are you someone that supports? Are you someone that is hospitable, that wants to help others? That's the generosity that I'm talking about. I'm not talking about finances necessarily. I'm more talking about the spirit of generosity. So there's more promises linked to generosity than anything else. In fact, here's one thing that Jesus said, John says in John chapter 1, verse 16, it says, because he was full of grace and truth, again, that's one of our values, from him, we all receive one gift after another. In other words, God just keeps blessing you. Another translation says, we live off his generous, bounty, gift after gift. So everything that we have in life is because of God's generosity. You woke up this morning because God gave you a gift of life today. You're breathing today because of God. You are blessed today and alive today and functioning today because of God's generosity. And so God wants us to learn generosity. Why do we need to learn generosity? We need to teach. How many know from the very, since we're toddlers, we're just selfish. That two-year-old says, mine. You know, he says, share. No, share. What? They don't even know what the word share is. Share it with them. Share. They don't share nothing. Let me have it right here. Let me have that. Why? Because it's our nature. Everything is mine. It's our nature to satisfy ourselves. It's our nature that we don't want to give to no one else. We don't want to help anyone else. If you've ever seen kids trying to make them share, man, they're just mad. They're upset. They're frowning like, what? Share? I don't want to share. Take it back. And they'll give it to them. But when as soon as you turn, they'll grab it back like, this is mine right here. And so the reason why generosity is so critical is because it is hard to give because it challenges our selfishness. We want to spend all our money on me. Right? Me, myself, and I. Gloria a mí. Mío. Mine. Right? It's mine. I want to spend everything on me. All my time on me. I want everyone to give to me. I want everybody to give back to me. But the promises of generosity are to give to others. And so there's so many. Literally, there are hundreds of promises in the Bible when it comes to generosity. And I'm going to go over 9 as fast as I can. And I'm just going to list 9. So get ready. Write this down. Again, when we talk about the promises of God. Number 1, write it down. God promises good things will happen to me when I'm generous. How many want good things to happen to you? The scripture actually says when you're generous, good things are going to happen to you. Psalms 112 says, good will come to him who what? Is generous. Not stingy, not a tightwad, am I right? But the person who is generous. Proverbs 22:9 says, generous people what? Will be blessed. How many want to be blessed? Be generous. That's the answer. He said, man, I want to be blessed. Well, learn to be generous. It's not how much money you have. It's not how much wealth. You can be generous with the little that you have. You can be generous with your time. You can be generous with your talent. You can be generous with your finances. However you can be, all of us can be generous. So generosity unlocks the blessing of God. And he said, good things will happen your way. Number 2, are you ready for this? I'm going as fast as I can. God promises my children will be blessed if I'm generous. How many want your children to be blessed? Maybe not your children. How many want your grandkids to be blessed? At least your grandkids. Yeah. Not the grandkids. Forget the kids. I want the grandkids. Hallelujah. A lot of you grandparents know what I'm talking about. No, we love them all. Psalms 37, 26 says, the godly what are always generous. So if you have any amount of godliness in your life, you're a generous person automatically. And what? Their children what? Will be blessed. It gets passed on to the next generation. So when you are generous, you pass that blessing to your children. I don't know about you, but I want my children to be more blessed than I am. If you're a parent, man, you love it when your kids are succeeding, when they're doing well, when they're blessed, they have finance, man, you are excited. I am, my prayer is only like, hey, man, you know, once in a while, take me out to eat. You know, that'd be great too, you know. And once in a while, if you think about your old man right here, man, buy me a cup of coffee or something, you know. It's good, right? I mean, you're thinking about your kids and you want them to be blessed. You're praying for the blessing. And I believe today, as we give to God, not only our kids will be blessed, but our kids' kids' kids. It's generationally. I want my whole generation to be blessed. Remember when you're on the street, you talk about people's generation, you and your whole generation. Well, now we're speaking, your whole generation will be blessed. You and your whole generation are going to be blessed in Jesus' name. I bless you and your whole generation. Amen. Not curse you out. All right, let's talk about the third one. Are you ready? The third promise is God will promises he will bless your work and your business if you learn how to be generous. Your work and your, come on, man. How many want a promotion? How many want God to bless you at work? I'm telling you, God will do it. He will change things. He will shift things. As you're generous, God will shift things in your life. And I've learned it in my own life. I've seen it happen. There's personal testimonies here in this church that people that, you know, they were generous. They didn't have a great job, but then God opened up another door. And all of a sudden, God began to shift things around, and the favor of God came. I remember working at this one job. I got a 50% raise in 2 years. Who does that? They want to give you a 50%. I go, man, they must like me here. They must want to keep me. And so somehow God just gives you favor when you put God first in your job and whatever work. And it says this, Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord by giving him the first part of all your income. It didn't say your second part. Or the last part, it said what? First part, God's first. Then what? Again, here's the premise. Then what? Here's the premise to the promise. If you put him first, then your barn will be filled to overflowing. Okay, there's a cultural context to this because we know it's more about farming and people that worked in the farm. And your vats will overflow with the finest wine. So this is a cultural context in the Bible. A lot of people were farmers, and so when they would look inside your barn and they would see it filled, it represented the blessing of your livelihood. It represented the blessing of your business and your investment. So the Bible says God's going to bless you because you honor the Lord first. But the premise or the condition was you have to honor God first, part of your income. And then what? Then you're going to overflow with blessing. Proverbs 11:25 says, a generous man will prosper. And what happened? And he will refresh others. And he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. In other words, as you bless others, that blessing is going to come back your way. Because you bless somebody, it's coming back your way. And I believe that for your business. I believe that for your career. I believe that for whatever job you're working at, that the blessing of God is coming your way. Somebody say amen. So I want you to watch this video of this guy who's given an option in the very beginning of this video. And this guy offers him $100. He says, I'll give you $100. Or I'll give you $500 if you give it away. And look at what happens right here. Go ahead and show it.
Would you rather have $100 for yourself or give $500 to a stranger?
$500 to a stranger.
Yeah, all right. Let's go do it.
You sure?
Yeah, whoever you want.
A couple people on the front of the store that are homeless.
Thank you. What?
Merry Christmas.
Are you serious?
Oh, don't you cry.
Thank you, bro.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you so much.
It's $100 for you.
Seriously? Merry Christmas.
Because you chose to hand out the money rather than take the $100, $500 for you.
Are you sure?
Yeah. It was whoever chose that first, man. There you go.
I'll pass it.
Isn't that awesome? I was thinking, why didn't I go to Walmart that day, man? I could have been waiting there, thinking to that, Johnny, with it there, man. Hey, right here, you know, I'll take the $100. But could you imagine, you know, this guy had the option. He could have took the $100 for himself, but it showed the generosity in his life. He said, I'd rather give away $500. And then what happened? He came back to him. Somebody, God bless him already, man. He gave it out, came back to him. I don't think he gave the other $500 away, but it's okay. God blessed him, right? So here's the fourth one. Are you ready for this? When you give to God and you learn to be generous, it makes you happier. And there's video after videos like this where these people are so satisfied. They're so happy that they are able to bless somebody else. In fact, the book of Acts says this in Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ himself. There is more happiness or more blessing in giving than receiving. Now, how many remember when you were kids? For those of you that are adults here, you remember the time when it was Christmas, and Christmas time was all about the gift you were getting. How many did what I used to do? You used to go over there and kind of open the package up really slick, put a little heat in there and see what you were getting, right? Because it was all about you, what you were getting. You know, sometimes my parents would find holes at the bottom of the package because I wanted to see what I was getting. Come on, don't act holy. You did it. Why? Because you're a kid. You're immature. It's all about you, what they're giving you. You weren't thinking about what you were giving others. But as you grew older and you matured, now Christmas is not about what you get. It's about what you give to others. And the joy of seeing your children open up the gift. Am I right? It's the joy. I mean, you see that, you say, man, what a joy. Because literally, as you mature, you learn generosity makes you happier than being stingy. Number five, write this down. God promises that if I learn to give and be generous, my influence will increase. How many want your influence to increase with people? Learn how to be generous. If you learn how to bless people, if you learn how to be hospitable to people, I'm telling people, it'll increase. It will overflow. Your influence, your amount of influence will begin to expand. Look at what Proverbs 11:24 says. It says that in the Message Bible, the world of the generous gets larger and larger, but the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. So if you want your world to get larger, learn how to be generous. If you want your world to get smaller and compact, be stingy, and you'll see walls begin to be built around your life. How many remember the Christmas classic with Ebenezer Scrooge and the Christmas Carol, where Ebenezer Scrooge has all this money, but yet his world and his influence is smaller and smaller? He lives with nobody. Nobody likes him. His influence is very small because he's gotten very greedy and become a miser mentality. But God is teaching us that if we want our influence to expand in other areas, in other places of the world, learn how to be generous. I've learned that I've given. We give every month toward mission. I think it's about $2,000 a month. That from our church, we give the missions. We give to Africa, we give to Egypt, we give to Colombia, we give to Ensenada, we give to, I'm trying to think of some other places that we give to, Romania as well. So when we give to all these different places, we do it every month at the church, we give toward mission. I believe that it caused reach to continue to reach other people. It's expanded our church and our influence. Because we give beyond the four walls. If you learn how to do that, you'll learn that you'll have more influence than you ever had before. Number six, are you ready for this? If you learn to give, or if you learn generosity, God will multiply what you give to him. He will multiply what you give to him. In other words, the little that you have will go further when you put it in God's hands than when you keep it. See, a lot of us think, well, the more I keep, the more I have. Actually, that's opposite of the Bible. The more you give, the more God gives back to you. In fact, we remember the story of Jesus. He had two loaves of bread and a few fish. It was a little boy. He had a little lunch. They took his lunch away, and they brought it to Jesus. And thank God, they prayed over. Jesus prayed over the loaves and the fish, and he fed 5,000 people. That's a lot of people with just a few loaves of fish. And then the Bible said there were 12 baskets filled over. Can you imagine? They gave it to that little kid, goes, here's your lunch back. The little kid said, man, my lunch got multiplied. Went home, took it to his mom. I'm sure they were all blessed by that time. But what I'm saying is, it takes a little that you have. When you put it in God's hand, he turns it into a lot. So I believe when we put God first in our time, in our talent, and in our treasure, God multiplies it. In fact, the Bible, listen to me, I think some of us may not know this, some of you that do, I'll just repeat it to you. God compares giving and generosity to planting of seeds. It actually does talking about planting seeds. Here, let me show you a scripture. Every time you're generous, it's like you're planting a seed. Look at what it says. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 10 says, just as God gives seed to the farmer and bread for food, God gives you a supply of seed. In other words, what do you need the seed for? You plant seed, am I right? He gives you a supply of seed to plant then he makes it grow. So in other words, when you plant that seed, it turns into a harvest and it comes back to you, and God will make you rich enough to be generous at all time. So in other words, it's not just that one time that you're planting the seed, but because you planted the seed once and you continue, God continues to meet the need and continues to circulate and give you more, because whenever you plant a seed, God multiplies it. Somebody say amen. God multiplies that. So write this down. If you haven't taken notes, write this down. Giving is not a debt I owe. It's the seed that I sow. It's not a debt that I owe. It's the seed that I'm sowing. I'm planting a seed. That money, those finances, I'm planting a seed in God's harvest field. God's teaching me how to give, and then I'm going to reap it back. How many know when you plant a seed, you don't get a seed back? When you plant a seed, you get a harvest back. If you plant a seed, if you plant a seed or corn or a kernel and you plant it, you're going to get a stalk, and each stalk is going to have all of these different things. They're going to grow out of it, and they're going to be more corn, and each stalk is going to have 3 ears of corn. Am I right? You reap it back. It's multiplied. I remember this years ago. I don't know how many here, for those Latinos that are here, how many like chayote? Any chayote fans here? Here we go. All right, we got some chayote fans. I grew up eating chayotes. My dad would plant a chayote every year in our backyard. And it was like this. He had this whole thing there. It would grow like a grapevine, and he would have all these chayotes. I mean, he would grow hundreds of chayotes. I mean, hundreds of them, man. And it was chayote for dinner, chayote for breakfast, chayote for lunch. Crunch, 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 crunch. Anyway, after a while, I even got kind of sick of chayote. And I said, a chayote again. I didn't realize I was poor. That's why we ate so much chayote. But as a kid, I stopped liking chayote. It wasn't until later on in life, as an adult, I told my wife, man, I need some chayote soup, man. I need to get some chayote going. So now I love chayote, and chayotes are expensive. I go, man, I didn't know they were that expensive. I'd have kept all those chayotes when I was a kid. But there's a certain way you had to plant chayote. I'm making a point here. My dad, I remember, he would teach us how to plant this chayote, and it was a whole technique to it. If it was going to grow healthy and the whole thing, he was a farmer, and he worked in a ranch, and he did all of this when he was a kid. But I remember my little brother, you know, he had a seed. He just grabbed the seed out of a chayote one day, and actually, I think even the seed came from a chayote that they already had heated up and boiled. And so my dad kind of laughed, and he got the seed, and my brother planted it in the front of the house. And my dad tells me on the side that that thing's not going to grow. You know, we boiled it already, and, you know, it's just that he's not planning it right. But we're gonna just kind of pacify him and patronize him and say, oh, yeah. Well, do you know a few weeks later that thing started growing? And my little brother had the last laugh then. Then the thing started taking off. And I told my dad, what are we going to do? He goes, man, we got to start building a thing. And so he started building this whole vine thing, you know, to take, and that thing started growing. It covered my whole house. Yeah, I was that neighbor. Yeah. You ever had a neighbor with growing all kinds? It literally covered the entire house. Then it went into the neighbor's house and onto their tree. And good thing we had good neighbors. They loved us. This is only in South L.A. They don't allow that stuff around here. But back over there, man, I mean, the whole thing, my dad made like a little walkway. He had to go under the vine, all because my spoiled little brother, my little brother, and he didn't want to break his heart, let him grow the chayotes, and we gave him away. And so from one little seed, it multiplied. Can I tell you, when you give to God, it multiplies. It comes back to you. So I'll be honest just to tell you, money is a tool. Think about this. Money is neither good nor bad. It's just a tool. You could use it for good or you could use it for bad. A lot of people misquote the scripture, money is the root of all evil. No, the love of money is the root of all, not money. Money is neither good nor bad. You could use it for bad reason or you could use it for good. When you use it for good, God will multiply it for his kingdom. And it'll come back to you, and you'll see it expand. In fact, it says, 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, remember this, whoever sows or plants sparingly, if you plant a little bit, you'll reap a little bit back. But whoever sows generous, again, there's that generosity, you'll reap generously. In other words, you decide how much you want God to bless you by how generous you are. So when we're generous, when we're willing to give out, can I just say this? The size of your harvest is determined by the size of what you plant. And I'll just say that our church is the generous church. Come on, give yourself a hand. This is the very generous church. A lot of the ministry that we do, I should say all the ministry that we do, is possible because of your generosity. Now, I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but we are a church planting ministry. We have several churches that we planted out. And we put out, in fact, we're getting ready to launch that new church with Pastor Peter and Maui. We're getting ready to do that. That's always an investment. Every time we plant a church, every time we release a couple, every time we go into a city, there's an investment. There's moving expenses that we help the guy with. There's the building, all of these things that we do. Every church we've done, we've always helped, and we're like their backup. We're like their insurance. I'm like their daddy. Hey, Pastor, I need money. So anyway, I feel like a sugar daddy. It's a spiritual daddy. Spiritual daddy. Not sugar daddy. Did I say sugar daddy? Spiritual daddy. Spiritual daddy. Thank you for correcting me, Pastor Isaac. Spiritual daddy. So anyway, we want to take, I don't know how I got into that, but so every year we do a conference. How many are looking forward to our conference coming up in August? Our conference coming up in August is called Truth. It's called Truth. And this time it's going to be held at the Marriott Conference Center in Anaheim. Now, our church, when we first started our conference, it was a very small conference because we only had a few churches out. Now we got a whole bunch of churches out. And the conference has gotten bigger. How many know that's the blessing of God? But I don't know if we have a picture up there. We our first conference was at the Madison building down the street, right down here. Right here on California and Madison. That's our building there. Our bilingual church meets there. And that was our first conference. I think that sits around 140 people at Mac. We thought it was so awesome, all of us there. It's only 140 people, but we thought it was a big thing. Then we all grew it, and then we leased the building down the street. If you can turn to the New Commandment Church, New Baptist Commandment Church, I don't know if you can turn. And we were meeting there for a couple of years. I think we only met there 2 years. And that one sat about 350, 400, and we maxed that one out. Then we moved over to one of our churches there in Lawndale, Restoration Life, and we started having conference there. And we outgrew that because the people were in the overflow room, and overflow people get mad. So we had to expand. And when we went over to the Carson Center, let's see, show me the Carson Center. That's the Carson Center, Civic Center. And I think that one sits around 750, 800 people. And we maxed that one out. That's our Carson Center. We were there, and it was a great place. But just then we moved over to the Marriott in Torrance last year. How many remember that? We were there last year. That one sits about 1,000 people. But now we're going over to the Marriott Anaheim, and that one sits 1,800 people. It's a beautiful place. It's probably the most nicest hotel that we've been in. You're going to love it. It's got plenty of room for all of us, plenty of room to grow. And what we do at our conference is we bring all the churches back for like a reunion. We have churches in Texas, here in Southern California, Northern California, Washington, Colorado, Atlanta, Columbia, and also Ensenada. And we bring as many as we can. We sponsor some couples to come and be a part, because some of them just can't come. They don't have enough finances to be able to fly, stay in a room. So we sponsor a lot of them. It takes finances to be able to do that. So what we do every year is we take our conference pledge. Come on, give God a praise for that. The conference pledge. This is not something we do every Sunday. We do it once a year. It's our annual conference pledge. And I want the ushers to come. And we're gonna receive that pledge today, because we got about 3 months to be able to get some money up front, get some finance. But because we're generous people, all of us are going to participate. You can also scan that code if you want, and you can do it electronically if you choose, or you can fill out one of these pledge cards. And I'm going to continue my sermon, but I felt like since we're already in it, we might as well just do it. We do it every year, so if you're a visitor here for the first time, I don't do this every Sunday, okay? This is just a pledge that we do once a year for our conference. And again, we believe in investing. I said we believe in investing in people. We believe in planting churches. We believe in reaching the world. And we do that. You have to realize this conference is around $150,000. Renting a facility of this size and then filling it up and doing all of that costs quite a bit of money. Even in the sound, just setting up the sound is over $50,000 just to set up a sound system, a stage. You're talking about an empty room. And if you want to professionally have it done where everybody can hear the sound no matter where you sit, it costs quite a bit of money just to do that. And that's actually a really cheap deal to have sound people come in and set it up for that many days. We have a children's ministry that goes on. There's people that stay there. In fact, I want to encourage you to stay there. It's right down. I think you could actually walk to Disneyland from there. Now, don't do it during the conference, maybe in the daytime. But I want to encourage you to even stay at the hotel. We have a special rate there as well. But if you need one of these pledge cards, raise your hand right now. In fact, just take one. If not, you can also scan that code. There's several options on there. I think the first one is $400 in 3 months. The first one is May. The second is June. So there's a three-payment plan there. You can go with a larger one, however. And if you neither of these work, just put whatever you want to give toward it. But I want to encourage you to fulfill one of these pledge commitments here. It really will help us. Again, this is not money not coming into here. It's literally to pay for that conference, to minister to all those people that are coming. I think it's going to be the biggest conference we've ever had. We have John Bevere is going to be with us. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. I don't know if you ever heard of Samuel Rodriguez. How many of you guys hear him before? And then is it Russell Johnson? Russell Johnson is going to be ministering. Omar Lopez will be there. We'll be ministering. And Diga Hernandez will be ministering. In the morning, we actually have Pastor Rob will be ministering one of the mornings. So it's going to be a great conference. And so at the end of service, you can put this in the offering basket. We'll have offering baskets here. We'll have offering baskets in the middle there toward the end of service. I'm going to continue this message, though. I wanted to take just a moment here to just let you know and express my gratitude for this church and your generosity to see this conference be possible every year. Give yourself a hand. You guys make it happen. I'm telling you, every year. So let's do what we can. Number 7, are you ready for this? And I'm going to try to go as fast as I can. God promises that generosity, that when I give to God, He will meet all of my needs. How many believe God can meet all your needs? Now, here's the thing. God meets your needs, not your greeds. You know, get the Lamborghini out of your head. I go, I want a Lamborghini. What happened, Pastor? No, he'll meet all your needs, not your greeds. Here's what the scripture says in Philippians 4:17. I want you to have the good that comes from giving. In other words, from generosity. My God will use His wonderful riches in Christ Jesus to what? Give you everything you need. Everything that you need. That's the kind of God that we serve. And He's the God that blesses. Proverbs 28:27. He who gives to the poor will lack nothing. So here again, it's giving out to others. Him that's giving out to bless other people. And look at what it says in 2 Corinthians 9:7. It says, you should give as you decided in your heart to give. Never give reluctantly or under pressure, because God loves what kind of giver? Cheerful giver. Then God will generously provide for you, so that in all things, all times, you have all the needs and plenty left over to give more to every good work of God. So we don't want to pressure you into giving. We're not here to pressure people. If you feel pressure, don't give. God wants one kind of giver, a cheerful giver. When we learn to mature in Christ, you learn how to give cheerfully. It's a joy to be able, just like that man, it was a joy for him to be able to give. I want Christian believers in this house to give joyfully. To say, man, I'm a part of something. I'm support. I'm seeing lives change. Because of your generosity, somebody's life is going to be impacted. How many can say amen to that? Number 8, God promises that if I learn to give, I will end up with more. How many want more? Okay, I'll take your more. Just give it over here, okay? But Luke 6:38 says, give and it will be given to you in full measure. You will receive what you will receive. Let me read it again. Give and it will be given to you in the full measure. And what you receive will need to be pressed down and shaken together. It said, but it will still run over and be poured in to your lap. So what he's saying is he's using the analogy of grain and packing it in a bag and shaking it to get more grain in it. You ever had to put something in a bag and you know, whatever it may have been, and you put it in there and you shake it up so you can get more in there? That's what he's saying, that God's going to bless you with so much that even after you shake it and pack it, it's still going to overflow. So somehow, supernaturally, God will give you more than what you gave. You probably heard this statement. I think Pastor Isaac used it the other time. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. There's something about people giving generously. Proverbs 11:24 says, some people give generously and end up with more, while other people don't give what they should and end up poor. That kind of rhymed, didn't it? End up with more and poor. There you go. So there it is. Number 9, are you ready for this? And this is the last one. God promises that when I give, it is stored up in heaven. So whatever you give to God, believe it or not, it reflects eternity. It reflects heaven. Let me read you a scripture here. 1 Timothy 6:18. Use your money to do good. Use your money to do good and give generously, always ready to share with others whatever God has given you. By doing this, you will be storing up real treasure for yourself. It is the only safe investment for eternity. So when we give to God, we are actually making an investment in eternity. I can't tell you how many lives are going to be changed. How many people, how many lives have been changed at a conference like this? How many of your life was changed, man? It changed your destiny. Why did you go to a conference? Because somebody made it possible by their generosity. Is it possible when we get to heaven, we don't even know the effects of our giving here? That somebody's going to come to you in heaven and say thank you. And you're going to say thank you for what? Because you gave, I went to that conference. Because you gave, I remember being a part of that conference. And my whole life was changed. Our whole life is changed. And we can change the lives of others. And eternity is affected by the generosity of others. And I'll read this last scripture, Luke 16:9. It says, use your worldly wealth or worldly resources to benefit others. In this way, your generosity stores up reward for you in heaven. I believe that a heavenly reward comes toward those that give into his kingdom. So I'm going to pray for you. Why don't you bow your head and close your eyes for a moment?
Thanks so much for listening to this message from Reach Church Paramount. To stay connected with us, follow us on Instagram or Facebook at Reach Paramount. To give and support this podcast and ministry, visit our website at reachparamount.com/give.